This is Radio Equal Shot with your host, Alex Smith.
Here is some friendly advice for climate deniers. Hope that Dr. John Mashey doesn't notice you. Last summer, Radio EcoShock ran a presentation by Dr. Mashey on his detailed investigation into the funding of the alleged institutes and self-proclaimed experts who say global warming doesn't exist and who promote the interests of fossil fuel companies. John Mashey is one of America's top computer experts with a history in Bell Labs and in Silicon Valley. Now he applies his skills outing those who attack climate science and scientists. Dr. Mashey, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alex.
It's been a hot time for one of the worst offenders, the Heartland Institute. Is your new report based on the leaked internal documents showing their billionaire funders and intentions?
No, I had no connection with it, oddly. Certainly what appeared in that leak was not very much of a surprise to me, actually, because I had seen most of the sorts of things before. So, in fact, from my point of view, the timing was really not very good. I would have much preferred if somebody was going to do that they had waited a few weeks. So I, in fact, had capped off this 200-plus page report, had prepared a complaint to the IRS the night before, and then last Tuesday, all crazy chaos broke loose.
Right, indeed it did. And I took time to go through that 200-page outline about the front groups who attack climate science, and I found it, listeners, at dsmogblog.com. It seems incredible. Big corporations and wealthy family foundations put out propaganda through tax-deductible charity foundations. How do they do that?
Well, that's the interesting question, you see, is in fact, a lot of this dates back to the tobacco wars. And of course, I go into that in some detail. I'm afraid that tobacco companies built machinery and tactics for confusing people about science. And they tried quite often to get that message out through every venue they could. And one batch of think tanks was perfectly happy to take their money for years. And fortunately, all that's recorded in the tobacco archives. One digs around and knows the right questions, you can find amazing history there. Thing is, they built this machinery, and then that same machinery has been applied to other things, like various environmental problems and including climate change. So sort of people got a lot of practice doing this, and then perhaps the tobacco money went down a little bit. There was something else to do.
And one of those tobacco guys who's now an anti-climate man is Fred Singer, and he's often listed as being from the University of Virginia. Why does that university put up with him?
Well, because he's actually an emeritus professor, and that title in some cases sticks forever. And in fact, he hasn't really been attached to the university, as far as I can tell, since around 1994. You know, some emeritus professors, I live just next to Stanford, and I know a lot of them, are very active, still working either in their own areas, or they maybe shift to a new career. There's a great Nobel Prize winner named Burton Richter who shifted from particle physics over into climate and energy and still contributes. But Fred's been long gone from Virginia. The trouble is, there's not much they can do as long as he sticks the emeritus on his name, which he often doesn't.
And Fred Singer listed a dead man as the chair of his supposed charity. Is that right?
That is correct. For 2 years, after Frederick Seitz was dead, he was listed in the official IRS forms, handwritten by Fred, the Singer, as working an hour a week, which leads me to think, well, maybe Fred Singer has a good spirit medium or something. I'm not sure what. But I will say this, Seitz was listed as getting zero pay.
Well, talk to us about the Heartland Institute. Why don't we start with their efforts to push anti-science in the classrooms of the United States and in Canada?
Yes. Well, that was actually one of the things in this that came up in this recent leak was this plan to build a curriculum actually written by someone who's not a climate scientist that would, you know, be able to be injected into the schools. And many people were really surprised at this. I wasn't, because I had read through 1,700 pages of their environment and climate newsletter, and they had a long history of trying to push these views into the schools, not very successfully, and they sort of alluded to that in the leaked funding report. So they've been doing this for years. They started with a campaign, is your child being indoctrinated or educated? The first one was a picture of a sweet young girl with some books. Apparently that didn't work so well, so they switched to a picture of Al Gore. Maybe that would stir people up. But even further back in 2002 or so, they were telling their readers, share articles from this with your child or even with your school teachers. So they review kids' books. You can guess they like some kids' books and they really dislike others. They had a series of videos they tried to put out. And if you go read my article called Faked Education at DSmog Blog, it's got a pointer to a 5-minute video trailer that is just, you know, a thing you must see.
Right, and I see from your charts, and it was echoed in the leaked documents, that the Heartland Institute received millions from a single anonymous donor. Do we have any clues who that is?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty well in the blogs, and it is something I almost included, but I still had some work to do to track a few things down. The leaked information helped remove certain possibilities. I would suggest that there is huge amount of evidence that it's, and I don't know how to pronounce it, it's Barry Seed, it's B-A-R-R-E-S-E-I-D, from Chicago area. And there's a whole pattern of him giving to Heartland for years, and then through his foundation, at least back through 1999. But around 2005, he disappears. There's a funny thing in 2005, 2006 where a whole lot more money comes in, and then the next year it goes out to a bunch of different other nonprofits. Heartland had never done that before or afterwards. One of them was to a place called Scheimer College, and it turns out that there was a takeover attempt sort of run by Saeed with a new board or attempting to have a new board, which was mostly people who worked for Saeed or people who were funded by Saeed. And then later, what happens is the money comes to Scheimer College through this donor's trust, donor's capital combination. And that entity also supplied a lot of money to Heartland. That's the big boost, came through donors. And so I can't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I would bet, you know, there's nobody else that fits. And in particular, the other possibilities were all named as named donors in the funding document, which says, you know, pretty unlikely.
Well, right. You found a lot of money that was named coming from the likes of Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, BP, Amoco, the Koch brothers, and even, surprise, surprise, the government-owned General Motors. Is this how the oil industry hides its attack on climate science?
Yeah, the way I would put it is, so you guys play a similar brand of football in Canada, and you know, what I put it is that the ExxonMobil especially got the play going and then did a handoff to the big family foundations. Now, of course, the Koch brothers are both big oil and foundation. But some of this, like Saeed, it seems to be pure ideology. They're willing to take up the cudgels for this. So the thing is, I think, you know, ExxonMobil Foundation sort of dropped out of this in the mid-2000s because they got a lot of criticism. Now, frankly, I was surprised that they ever did it through the foundation because the amounts are minuscule compared to their daily profits. Of course, you understand corporations can always donate directly. None of that showed up in this. So it may well be that they did a lot of seed funding starting especially around 1998, and that was, you know, there was a group put together by the American Petroleum Institute that was covered in one of my earlier reports, you know, with the head lobbyist, Randy Randall from ExxonMobil, and Fred Singer's wife, and the folks from Competitive Enterprise Institute, that whole gang. And it seemed like they got the ball rolling and then stepped back. Why not? If somebody else will go pay for it, the corporations don't spend money they don't need to.
And many of these groups, John, told the U.S. Internal Revenue Service that they don't do any lobbying of politicians. And is that true?
Well, let me distinguish two kinds of things that I particularly looked at in my big report. There's the kind of thing where you violate the rules for nonprofits by advocating all sorts of things that are not fact-based, that are sort of emotionally based, attacks on other people, like there were about 10 a use of alarmist per issue of this climate news, right? There was like 880 mentions of alarmist. Now, lobbying is a grayer zone, and it's harder to prove because, after all, the best lobbying is sort of one-on-one kinds of things, right? But Heartland has a long history, and I showed a whole lot of examples where they brag about their access to legislators. They talk about the newsletters mostly going to legislators, state and local, across the country. They quote things where they say legislators changed their mind. You know, what percentage of them changed their mind as a result of reading their newsletters. They have these little dinners where they pay for government officials to come, and otherwise, they're for their big donors. Now, you know, would you guess that the big donors sit at separate tables from the legislators? Probably not, right? But, you know, they mention things where they give presentations to representatives, and they bring non-experts, but they claim they're experts. Anyway, that's a harder thing to prove. What was clear was their IRS forms always said that they did none of this. And, you know, nonprofits are allowed to do a certain amount of it, but they also have to say what money they spend and how much effort they do. And, you know, Heartland just continually bragged to its advertisers, to its donors, of how much access it had to state and local governments.
And where does your investigation go from here? Has the IRS responded in any way?
I haven't heard from them, but I wouldn't have expected to yet. It's only been a week, so... Now, you know, I sent them a note, appropriate note, and pointed them at this, I told them report was coming because I sent this, you know, before it was up. And then I have since told them exactly where it was and mentioned the leaked material. But again, leaked material, I could have done perfectly well without it, but it was interesting to see that they inter-corroborated each other quite well.
Well, I don't want you to give away any secrets, but what still needs to be done to expose what looks to me like money laundering that goes through for climate denial and who pays for it all? What are you looking at next?
Oh, yeah. Well, so let me try. There were more things that were on my list to go look at, like tracking down where exactly the money was coming through that flowed through donors' trust. But in fact, you know, I found already things that look like four or five deep funding chains where the money moved around, right? And in particular, I noticed that there were a number of grants made to foreign entities that, in fact, were not charities. And that, by the way, is a serious no-no to the IRS. And there were two entities in Canada, one of which was not a charity, and there were two entities, well, sort of in New Zealand, although it sort of semi-migrated to Canada in a peculiar way. Then there were a bunch of unspecified things that went probably to Australia, maybe even to India. There's some dotted lines that connect things pretty well. Like for instance, Joanne Nova made this thing called the Skeptics Handbook, which is just, you know, ridiculous anti-science. And Heartland gave out 14,000 copies to school board presidents in the U.S. I don't know if any got up to Canada, but they were all over the U.S. They even mocked one of the presidents who rejected it kind of vocally. So there's a pretty strong dotted line there. Now, I can't find that out because, you know, it's material they don't have to make public, but the IRS knows. So we'll see.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, did I miss anything that you would like to add?
Well, I think just one thing here. One of the things I did in the report was to show a chart on page 3, I think it was, of the funders at the top, who they funded amongst a group of about a dozen think tanks, and then how not just Heartland and Fred Singer's place and the Center for the Study of Carbon Dioxide and Global Change, but a bunch of other think tanks. And what you find is that in Heartland's documentation that they put out, you find people from those other think tanks often contributing ideas, wrong arguments typically, to the material Heartland puts out. Or they're part of Heartland's NIPCC reports or Heartland's global warming experts that are sent to legislators. So, you know, what you find is it's the same group funding all this stuff, and it's a bunch of nonprofits that manage to generate all this disinformation. And so part of the thing, I think, is to explore more of the money paths and what goes on. You know what these guys do, too, is I have this term fake spurts. They all quote each other back and forth or write the articles, all quoting each other or using each other's stuff, all claiming each other are distinguished experts, right? And it's, you know, I know a lot of real experts, you know, members of the National Academy and folks like that. And I'm afraid none of these are real experts.
Well, there you have it. Like a kind of superhero for science, Dr. John Mashey tracks down the money trail and helps protect climate science, I think, and scientists. So, John, please keep me posted. Let's talk again.
We will, and I would just like to end. You know, I was up in British Columbia last April and had a terrific trip, thanks to PIX, and was glad to talk to you then and now.
All right, and you can find out more at dsmogblog.com. Dr. John Mashey is spelled M-A-S-H-E-Y. Do find out more. It's pretty interesting stuff. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.